And if you want to hear it, come to church next week. Reigning in 2019. You better write that down somewhere. Reigning in 2019. Say, I'm going to reign. Starting right now. So, you know, we don't have to wait for the clock to strike, you know, the first day, first minute, first second of 2019. You can start right now. In fact, you can start every day brand new year. You don't have to wait till this day to start a new year. If you messed up, you can start right away. Isn't that wonderful? And God is not the God of just the first and second chance, but he's a God of always a good chance, always a great chance, always the number one way with God. He's always giving you chance. So you don't have to be afraid to lose your, how many chances do I got, Lord? But it's up to you. If anybody's going to lose, it's not up to God, it's up to you. And so we're going to keep our faith up in the things of God. So do you have your Bibles with you or something that you can, you know, make some sense out of this morning's session? So I'm going to talk about sustained in 2019. How will you be sustained in 2019? And sustained to serve God. You know, we have to sustain to serve God. We have to be able to, we call this message sustaining to serve God. And that's what it's all about, to serving God. As an introduction, I'd like to say, you know, if we're ever going to serve God, we're going to have Him to sustain us. Because, you know, there's a lot of trouble in this world. You don't have to do much. You don't have to look for trouble. It'll come and find you. You ever notice that? You can stay home, you know, put your lights on low and don't make any noise, and, you know, put some soft music on. Trouble will still find you somewhere along the line. So if we're going to have the natural resources and the natural physical energy, we're going to have God to help us get through this, because trouble seems to find its way to us. No matter how well you've been living your life, if you didn't like, you know, if you said, well, I'm going to watch my health, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to say nice things to people. But always, you know, something happens. You know, you might run out of this or something happened to you. Like Pastor, back there, Dave, he lost his vehicle. Somebody stole his vehicle, his truck. And so I saw that on Facebook. If you ever want to find something, go to Facebook. I'll tell you everything there. Some things are not true. But, you know, some pictures are not true either. People kind of doctor themselves up. They look better than they actually are on Facebook. And their life's a whole lot better on Facebook than it actually really is. So, but that's good, though. It's good. We need to show it a good sign. So Pastor Dave said he lost his truck in 2018. You know, when he was talking about that, I thought, you know, he said, I lost my truck, but we found it. And I thought, he said, well, I just found out that the car was filled with gas. There's coupons in there of every restaurant in the city. There's gifts in there. You know, the car was washed. And that'd be a good way to find your vehicle. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we stole Pastor Ken's little vehicle? Cleaned it up, put some gas in it. It's only $30 gas. And the little car, $25, fill up yesterday. But if you go to Bannon's gas, it probably cost you $15. So we had to go over there. So it's a small miracle, that car. So we were driving down the road 65 miles an hour in that little thing yesterday. We went to the border yesterday to get some stuff there. And the mail stuff and do business. And so we actually made it there and back. So I wanted to get in that vehicle and just actually see. You know, when you're in that little vehicle, a strange thing about it, you feel like you're in a big vehicle. That's what it must feel if you're like a little dog and you see a big dog. Yeah. Did you know that horses, they don't think that, you know, they don't see you as a little person. Huh? I don't know how they found that out. I was never a horse, so I think they figured it out. But they said, you know, they're big animals. They think you're just as big as they are. So if you ever become a horse, let me know for sure. Confirm that fact. All right, go to Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22. We're talking about sustaining to serve in 2019. The idea of this message is if we serve God, if you serve God, He will sustain you. It's a promise. If you serve God, He will sustain you. If you say, God, I want to serve you, and no matter what comes my way, God's going to protect you and give you what you need in order for Him to keep you here. I want to show you this in Scripture here. Psalm 55, verse 22, King James says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and watch this, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He shall never suffer the righteous. He will not allow you, as a child of God, you know, to be left alone and be forlorn and you know, destroyed if you come to God. Now, the same version of Scripture we'll look at again, but let's go here to this psalm here in another version. Amplified Bible says this, cast your burden upon the Lord. Notice this, releasing the weight of it. You know, burdens are heavy things that we carry. Burdens are just things that just pile up in your life. And I woke up 5 o'clock this morning, and all of a sudden, all the burdens start tumbling down. I told my wife about it. You know, it seems like about 5 o'clock, the devil starts early. You get up in the morning, you figure out how many things you have to do and how much you got to go through stuff. And if you could actually, he tells you, and all that, he reminds you of all the stuff you have to do. Then he tells you, I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can make it. So he says there, releasing the weight of it, because these things can you know, weigh you down, all the worries and cares and anxieties and all the heavy things in life can start weighing you down. He says there, and He will sustain you. You know, the thing about it, that if we cast our care upon the Lord, He will sustain us. He will never allow, everybody say never. That's the Bible. He said He'll never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, to fall, or fail. Say, I'll never slip. You know, I want you to confess this year, Miss Pearson. Say, I'll never fall. I'll never slip. Because, you know, she fell. You know, I guess she was getting some garbage. You shouldn't go to the garbage cans at all. I mean, don't you have food at all? But you know, it's easy to slip. Anybody can slip. But especially, I guess, when you're elderly, you kind of lose some, what do you call that, agility? Is that what it is? Yeah? Okay, so sometimes you'll have that. So, but the good thing about it, God says, I'll never let you fall or fail. I think that'd be a good confession to make all this year. God will never let me fail. Go ahead and say that. Say, God will never let me fail. Say, I'll never fail in 2019. I want you to write that down because that's the Scripture. You can say that because the Bible says it. You know, we need to learn to say what the Bible says. You're cast your care on God. It means that you need to unload all your burdens on Him. Release all the cares, all the weight once on Him. Not to hold on to them, to see how long you'll last. You know, somebody said it's the last straw that broke the camel's back. You know, the last straw. You don't want a straw to break your back. Notice it says something here that we need to think about. He says that He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Who are these righteous? Well, let me just tell you something about what the Scripture says. who these people are. And that's a promise to those who have been made righteous. That word was made, you know, for those who have been made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. We didn't become righteous on our own power. We didn't become righteous because we decided we're going to do a lot of good things and stop eating, overeating, stop smoking and drinking and telling lies. That's, you know, thank God we can be delivered from all those. If you got some bad habits, you got to give up those things. If you learned that all your life, it's hard to just quit everything right away. So don't be hard on someone who just got born again and they're still slipping around. How long did it take you? Right? And so we fail. I can think about my own self when I got born again, how many times I failed miserably. And when God called me to the ministry, I knew who I was. And I said, I can't believe God would call me. But he did. The Bible says in Psalm 139, the days of my life was written in his book. He knew the beginning from the end. And he knew how your life is going to turn out. And there's no sickness in his book. There's no failure in his book. He didn't say, you're going to fail here. I want to make you fail. I'm going to make sure you fail. I'm going to lift you up and dust you off and make you better so that I can show you how good I am. No, there's somebody else doing that, making you fail. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's him. His name is the devil. And your next door neighbor. No, that's your next door neighbor. Amen. Who are those righteous? Let's look at the scripture here, Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1, looking at the King James Version, it says there, hope you guys watching online, happy 2019 coming up. If I don't see you by then, we'll see you on the other side. By the way, Team Canada won last night 5-1 over the Czech Republic. Anybody watching those games? I'm the only one that's crazy about hockey here. Then maybe Ed Statue over here. You're more than a statue there, Mr. Ed. Man, you're a talking, walking statue. Okay. Let's go over here, Ed, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified is another word for made righteous. The word justified, you know, I remember hearing Billy Graham years ago. You know, I followed Billy Graham when I got born again because he was, you know, Baptist, great Baptist minister, worldwide evangelist, and I was watching television. And I got born again watching television and made the sinner's prayer. And I was in church all my life. I went to church every Sunday and was never born again until I heard the message and was invited to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I thought I was born again because they baptized me in water when I was a kid. They sprinkled water in my head and said, you know, what did they say? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I baptize you. And they said, now you're born again. But that scripture is, you know, when they talked about that, you know, there's a scripture that says that the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. That's when you got born again. He took you. The word baptized means to put you into. So the Holy Spirit put you into the body, the spiritual body of Christ, when you got born again. Your spirit. So we're together about the body of Christ here at Faith City Church, part of the body of Christ. So that word righteous or justified, it means made right with God. Therefore, being made right with God or being justified, Billy Graham said, put it this way, justified. He says, just if I've never sinned. Justified. Just if I've never sinned. Justified. Just if I've never sinned. Justified. Just if I, blah, 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 blah. Okay, too many times. Being therefore justified or made righteous by faith, how did we do it? By faith. Not works. We have peace with God. You know, when we talk about making peace with God, when we make peace with God, we come to Jesus. We say, Jesus, you're the Lord. You're the one that paid the price for me. You become my Lord, my Savior. I invite you now in my life. And you make peace with God by placing our faith on Christ. Now look at another scripture for this righteousness. Made righteous. The word is justified, made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the King James Version says, "For he had made him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us." In other words, a sin offering. Jesus became the sin offering for you and me. He was put on that cross. And he was nailed to that cross, and he bled. He was beaten. The Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. He didn't look like a human being. Then you see those crucifixes. You know, look, you know, Jesus looking pretty good. He's got some blood. It don't even look like that, the Bible says. Isaiah the prophet said he didn't look like a man. And thank God that he did that. He made it. He was a sin offering for you and me. It says there he knew no sin. In other words, Jesus didn't have sin. That we, that's you and me, might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. Right now, if you made peace with God by accepting Jesus Christ in your life, you are righteous right now. When you were born again, you became a righteous person. Your spirit is right with God. Now you might make a lot of mistakes in your flesh or in your mind. That's why you have to do something with your mind. It's your job to do something with your mind. Jesus did something about your spirit. And we have to do something with our flesh. Put our flesh under and discipline it. Your flesh will want to do what it wants to do even after you're saved. Anybody ever discovered that? How much did you eat yesterday? I've been eating. I confess right now. And I was just repenting like 4 o'clock this morning. Oh Lord, I'm gonna stop eating like this. None of you never had that. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It's for the third witness here about this righteous. Who's these righteous people? That's you and me. God is going to sustain you in 2019 because you're His. That's a good confession to make. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, King James Version says, "And being found in Him," look at this, "not having my own righteousness." Everybody said, "not having my own righteousness." In other words, you can't make yourself righteous. It's not your righteousness, your good works, that's going to make you go into heaven or make you accepted with God. It's not how many things you've did, how many prayers you did, how much money you gave, and how you gave up this and how you gave up that. It's not about that. Thank God for that. You can do that and discipline your flesh, control your life, have the fruit of the Spirit, have control in your life. What you think about, what you say, you can have that. Some people are stronger than you because they've exercised in that area a little bit more. And it says in there, "not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through faith in Christ." This righteousness that we got is by our faith in Jesus. By faith we received this righteousness when we became, a child of God. Notice this, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This righteousness you have is from God. It's actually a gift. Romans 5:17 says it's a gift. This righteousness is a gift. It's been granted to you, given to you. You didn't have to work for it. God gave it to you when you received Jesus. And through this righteousness, you will reign in 2019. It's not because you did a whole lot of things, but because God made you righteous. You are righteous. This is a gift. Because of this gift, you will rule and reign in your life, in your body, in your life situation. You will ruin. You'll rule and reign by Jesus Christ, by this righteousness. Let's go ahead and put that scripture up. Since we've made mention of it, I don't have it in my notes, but it just came up because God gave me that word over here standing there, reigning in 2019. I don't care what's going on in your life, in your body, or your life situation. Say this in your life all the time. I'm ruling and reigning in 2019. Starting right now. Could you pull up the scripture, Romans 5, 19, or 17, excuse me. Here it is. For by one man's offense, death reigns. That's talking about Adam. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Notice this. And the gift of righteousness. Everybody said the gift of righteousness. See, this is what he's talking about. Shall reign. The word reign connotes kingship, authority, and power. You shall reign. You know what? You're the king in your own life. You're the king of your body. You're the king of your mind. You're the king of your possessions. You rule and reign. And how does a king reign? He reigns by his word. God reigns by his word. And you and I need to be like God. We're God's children. We rule like him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that we're children of God. We imitate God. And so it says that by this gift of righteousness, we shall reign. We shall govern our lives by the words we say. Say, this is going to be an awesome year. Say, I'm starting an awesome year. Say, this is my year. Say, I'm going to lose weight. Say, I'm going to be more healthier. I'm going to have more funds. I'm going to have fun. Say, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to have weights. Praise God. That's good. See, we have to say these things. I want to show you why you have to say things. You've got to say things. If you're going to rule and reign in your life, you need to start saying the right things when things go wrong. Or when things go wrong, don't even speak if you don't have anything good to say. You need to put that on your status for a couple of days. If you don't have anything to say, anything good to say, don't say anything. Because every thought unspoken dies. Every thought unspoken dies. It's when the devil puts thoughts in your mind, impresses you about certain things, negative things, evil things, and you start saying them and start meditating on those things. Don't allow yourself to meditate on those things until you get to a place where you start confessing them. Make yourself confess. Make yourself meditate the good things. And make yourself say the good things when everything is going wrong. Amen? 2019, how are we going to do it? So don't worry. First of all, don't worry about tomorrow. Because today's trouble is going to be added by tomorrow's trouble. We can't be worried about tomorrow, things that we can't control. We can't control, things that is happening around us. Today's struggles are enough for us to handle. There will be more and more trials every day as we live. So don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. God's already taken care of it. He wrote in this book, 139 Psalm. He said, all your days were written in my book. And we live from victory to victory. We have to remember that when times happen. We live in this world. We live in this world where the devil is Lord. And he's running around trying to find the weak ones on your weak days to pick on you for a couple of days. And if you allow you to meditate on bad things, he'll pick on you for as long as you allow him to. And he'll come on you and put you into a frenzy of anxiety. Have an anxiety attack and go to hospital. I remember I was just stricken a few times in my life. Were so stricken with anxiety. One time I was in Winnipeg doing my studies. I told my wife, "I'm just something's going on with me. Take me to the hospital." She should have slapped me. And then another time I was going to. We went to camp meeting. And then, was having a great time, and suddenly I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was stricken with panic attack. And I thought I was dying or something. Something was happening to me. I just was stricken so badly. I told my wife, something's happened to me. You need to take me to the hospital. She looked at me for a long time. Is this my husband? I know some of you guys, you probably had that this morning when you saw the snow. You know, I can talk about this because I've overcome these things. I used to be stricken with panic attacks every day, all days of my life, every single day. Never stop, always relentless, every single day, panic attack, every single day, continually, year after year after year. I didn't understand. I thought this was normal. Until the Lord gave me His scripture in Isaiah 53. He said, I died for your peace. I died for your peace. I was so taken with this thing that I was driving with somebody. I didn't know how to tell them to stop. I was in this car. I just asked if I could stop for a bathroom break, and I went to the bathroom, and the Lord spoke to me. Some of you ought to go to the bathroom. Take a bathroom break. I came into my office. Somebody came out of my bathroom this morning. Pastor Ken was in my bathroom. I caught him in there. He said, I only did something. I didn't do anything big. They said Pastor Roman has the best nose in the house. One time, you know, Pastor Frank Rosemont, he was one of our guys we work with, our assistant, you know. I guess he'd been in my office. He's in my phone. I went on my phone and said, Frank's been in my office. Yes, indeed he was. Because you could smell. He'd slap on the colognes, man. You could smell them everywhere in the house. Sorry I had to reveal that. But notice Psalm 34, 19. But I want you to read, first of all, Matthew 6:34 for us. We go to Matthew 6:34. It says this, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient on today is the evil thereof. The Amplified Bible says about Matthew 6:34, it says, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow. So you know what, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody, don't be worried about tomorrow. Say, I won't. I remember talking to my kids, you know, they always say, I won't. So we have to do this. This is God's word. Take no thought. Don't be worried about tomorrow. For tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. So don't start worrying about tomorrow, because all of a sudden you're taking on tomorrow's anxieties. And it's not even tomorrow yet. You're living today and you're suffering about things that's going to happen tomorrow. God says that's not the way to live. Just leave it there. Because God says, I'm going to take care of that too. There's so many things we can be worried about. Take no thought for tomorrow. Now, Psalm 34:19 says this. I'm reading the King James Version, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous. In other words, just because you're born again, just because you're God's child, doesn't mean you'll never have any trouble because you live by faith. Who told you you'll never have trouble? You know, I heard people say, you know, hey, I came to Jesus. It seems like I got more trouble now than I ever did when I wasn't saved. Half the time you were out of it. Right? He's just right out of it. And he gets sober, and all of a sudden he discovered he had problems. Well, wake up. On top of that, the people say, you know, you can be so drunk with your anxieties that you forget about everything. Luke says, you know, you can be so burdened, you're drunk with anxieties that you forget how to live. And you think it's normal. Got enough burdens for you? Many are afflictions of the righteous. But notice this. But the Lord delivered him or her. The Lord delivered him. And some of them read like this way. Out of some of them. He delivers them out of some of them or part of them. No, all of the afflictions. Said, God will deliver me from all of my afflictions, all of my troubles, all of my trials in 2019. So I'm getting ready right now that when trouble shows up, I know he's going to take that from me and he'll sustain me. He's going to lift me up. I want you to remember this because it's going to be so easy to forget about it, especially when the trouble comes. Thank you very much. Now, many are the afflictions. How many trials? The word afflictions means trials or troubles. How many trials are we supposed to experience? How many of them? Many of them. Some of them you made up your own, but the Lord will still deliver you. Right? He'll deliver you from how many of them? All of them. So I want you to remember. I want you to remember this. When you have trouble, to say, thank God he's delivered me from them. That's how you're going to make it in 2019. If just the way of thinking and just the way of confession and just the way of acting. I want you to notice over here, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because God gave me this. When I was having such a hard time. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 12 and 13 because 12 is talking about the prayer part. And we'll go to verse 13. Let's go put it up here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet, or the word meet means able, who has made us able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is our inheritance? Let's go to verse 13. Who has delivered us? Has is past tense. In other words, in God's mind, whatever is going to come up this year, he's already taken care of that. I said, whatever happens in 2019, he's already had a plan to get you out of it. He's already made provision. He's already made healing available. He's already made the money come, the funds be there. He's already made the person that you need to be there for you. Isn't that wonderful? So he has, not he's going to try, or there's a chance he will do it, or there's, you know, a percentage that he might. He said he has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. That's anything the devil can do or wants to do. The darkness is talking about the devil's kingdom and his allies and his people. They're not people, they're demons. Well, he could use people too. The power of darkness. Is there a power of darkness? Yes, there is a power of darkness. There is a power of darkness. If you live in darkness, it has power over you. But if you get out of that and repent, it doesn't have power over you no more. He said he's delivered us and he has translated us or transferred us into his kingdom. So we're not in the kingdom of darkness, we're in the kingdom of light. We're in God's kingdom. He has no authority in that kingdom. When you walk in his kingdom, when you walk with God, and if you take care of your life, like, you know, we take care of our homes, our cars, and you're supposed to take care of your car. Clean it up a little bit. How many of you clean your car? Sometimes I wash my car before Sunday, sometimes I don't because I know what the weather's going to be like. I'll be wasting my $20. By 30 bucks. Yeah, I am. That's good, isn't it? I'm glad. Now watch this. Psalm 91. I'm just overwhelmed of the generosity of our good friend. Psalm 91. I'm stuck. Psalm 91, it was almost time to close. Psalm 91 is about being sustained. Psalm 91 is a scripture or a psalm which reveals how God will sustain you and has sustained you all the days of your life until from the time you're born and until you die of old age. God's plan that is you live all your life and not die between something. And you can die when you want to. You can die without sickness or disease. If you want to die, get healed first and then die after that. That's what I'm told. That we should just fall asleep and die. I'm not believing God to die in sickness. I'm believing God that I don't get sick. And yes, I've got symptoms. I've had symptoms. I've had different things happen to me. It doesn't mean that if you're a by faith person, if you live by faith, doesn't mean you'll never have symptoms in your body. Doesn't mean that the doctor will tell you you're always healthy. Sometimes he'll tell you there's something going on in there. But thank God, you know the answer. You ever look at your bank account? After Christmas. You don't want to be afraid. Psalm 91 is about that. Now let's go and see Psalm 91 there. And I think we might have to end here, because how are we going to be sustained in this life if we don't know these things? You don't even know that? Psalm 91. Let's find Psalm 91. For some reason, I didn't put it all in here because it's such a long psalm. All right. Should I read it? Let's read it in the Common English Bible. So it's, since there's a lot of English people here tonight, this morning, and common folks, we this will fit right in here. Commoners. This is called the House of Commons. We all have a common faith. Now, look, watch this. Psalm 91, Common English. Do we have that over here? We don't have that. And yet we're Common English over here. Okay, let's try the New Living. I think these living people can take that. Anybody alive here? Okay. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. Everybody say, this I declare. In other words, you need to start declaring some things that you want to happen in your life in 2019. Job says, whatever you declare is up to you to make happen in your life. We need to confess this, because people always say, see, I knew that was going to happen. Because when something bad happens, right? See, I knew it was going to happen. I told you, didn't I tell you? Why don't we just say the good things? This I declare, but Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in God. I trust in Him. These are the things you need to say. And the following verses tells you what will happen to you if you declare that He is your refuge, He's your place of safety, and that that He is your God and that you trust Him. You got to be able to understand that before verse 3 starts to happen. This is your confession. This is what you say of God. You need to say these things. Don't wait for something bad to happen. Begin to say them, declare them over your life, declare them over your children. I like that Psalm, I think 28, somewhere, 12, 20, I can't remember what scripture now it says there. In my path in life, there's only life, no death. Say it. He will rescue you from every trap. Verse 3. He will rescue you from every trap. You have to declare that God was good. You know, if whatever the devil planned for you, He'll rescue me from every trap of the enemy. Say it. Say, He'll rescue me from every trap. You know what a trap is? A trap is something hidden. It's a scheme. It's a trick or something. Whatever the devil tries to, he tries to cover up, and he'll he set a snare. That's what the King James said, a snare. And you don't know it's there until you're in it. But when you're in it, you need to say this, hey, God's already made provision for me. And you say, hey, I knew this was going to happen, and God's already made provision for me. I'm coming out of this. In fact, there was probably some more traps, but I'm not in them. He's already delivered me from those ones. Come on, use your imagination, because God's already arranged that. He's prearranged this. Verse 3, he will deliver you, deliver me from every trap, and protect you from deadly diseases. I've heard there's some people that have been really sick, and they've been out for days. And the doctors didn't know what was wrong. I'm talking about people that I know in this room right here. They've been out for days. And they asked for prayer. We had laid a cloth there. We prayed about it. And this, someone took that to that peer person. I know, by faith, we release it anyway. We release our faith. We believe. And I heard this morning that young man, I wonder how many days he was out, weeks or something, a couple of weeks, days. He woke up sometime yesterday with tears in his eyes. Thank God. And there's other people who've had the same thing happen to them. I don't know what they confess, because I can't help everybody. I can help everybody who wants to be helped. I can help people with this scripture and tell them when the time comes, hey, we just know the scripture. You and I, you walk with me for the last few years. I preach to you every week, Wednesday and Sunday. And hey, the trouble's here. And I told you this is going to work. It's going to work. But I can't help someone who just comes and goes when he wants to come. And then he runs into trial. He goes away for 7 months, comes back for one service. And then he's all these troubles. You wonder why he's got these troubles. Because they didn't follow. God planned for you to be here every week. That's why I'm here. That's why I don't try to miss. No, I wanted to not come to church this morning just like everybody else. And I wanted to tell Pastor Ken, you take care of the service. And he would too. He'd be making you laugh and doing all kinds of gymnastics. And well, I'm telling you, I want to tell you something. We've got people that are on deathbeds right now. And I've talked to people in my life, that I tried to help, and they're dead now because they wouldn't listen to me. And now they want me to come in the last second to rescue somebody. I said, hey, you should have been listening to me. My own brother was the same way. I phoned him up. I said, hey, listen, come to church. I'm coming by to pick you up. He says, no, we're going to bingo tonight. And this one day he came by, he says, I've got cancer. Pray for me. And I heard the Lord say to me, this is between me and him, he says. I've told him. I've sent you to him. I've sent other people to him. Now he has to get himself right with me. How many people know Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the things that matter to you belong to you and God, not somebody else. And we have to be able to walk with God ourselves. We have our own personal relationship with God. And you try to help people when you can. He will cover you with his feathers. God has feathers, apparently. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Isn't that wonderful? Grab a scripture, that's your protection. That's your armor. The armor of God is the scriptures. That's what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, that the armor of God, put on the armor of God. Now walk in the word of God. The armor of God represents everything you need to understand about scripture, about keeping your life sustained. Listen, verse 5, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. There are things going on in this world that you don't know that could kill you. But God has prearranged his protection. His heavens of protection around you said you're not going to die because he's got you covered. There's a song in the 80s, you know, sung by this young lady, what's her name, Amy Grant. She says, angels are watching over me everywhere I go. The Bible says in Psalm, which Psalm says, you know, the angels camps around those who fear God, who worships and awfully reverence God. Angels are around me wherever I go. That's what the scripture says. How many people know that angels are around us right now? They're protecting you. Tell them, thank God that you're protecting me. Amen. Verse 6 says, do not dread any deadly, any disease that stalks in darkness, nor disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Everybody say, no evil will conquer me. Say, no evil will conquer me. So this is what you need to declare over your own life this year, 2019. Declare it to yourself. They said, no evil is going to conquer me. Psalm 54:17 says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon is going to, whatever the devil devises, it's not going to prosper against me. It's not going to succeed against me. Because God's already arranged for me to succeed. No plague will come near your home. That's including the flu. Where's that pastor again? He let some in there earlier. Pastor Steve, I mean, talking about. For he will order his angels, protect you wherever you go. There, wherever you go, they'll protect you. They'll lift you up with your hands so you won't even hurt your foot against a stone. You will not freeze your feet or your toes. You will trample upon the lions and the cobras. Let's talk about demons. You'll crush the fierce lion and serpents under your feet. Everybody say, under my feet. The scripture says the devil's under your feet. That's a sign of authority. I'll be with them in trouble. See? I'll be with them in trouble. In other words, when you've got trouble, say, God, hey, God's with me. Tell yourself that God's with me. He's here right now. He's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Psalm 45 said he's the very present help in a time of trouble. Yeah. Amen? He said, I will rescue them and honor them. I'll reward them with long life. How are you going to live long? By doing this. By staying with God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus, for your protection. Thank you, Lord God, for your word declares that I'm covered. Psalm 91 says I'm covered. I declare that the blood's covered me. Oh, I thank you, Father, for the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, as we declared earlier. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Is there anybody here excited about being protected? Is anybody here? Amen? Lift that hand and thank God. And let praise come out of your mouth. Thank him and think about it. Sing a song if you have to. Give him praise out loud and say, God, I want to thank you this year. That I'm ruling and reigning in 2019. Reigning. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for ruling and reigning in 2019. We praise you, Lord. Thank you that no disease will strike me. No disaster will strike me. Every trap you made arrangement for me to escape. Thank you. I declare it today that no evil will overcome my life. No disaster will strike me. I declare it according to your word. Thank you, Lord, that everything is going to be okay. My family will be okay. Thank you, Lord God. He's not going to steal from me. Oh, thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name, wonderful Holy Spirit. Lift both hands up together. Let's say this. Say, God, you are my God. You are my fortress. You do not allow evil to strike me. You prearrange me to escape every trap of the enemy, every snare. I am covered. I declare I am covered by God's word. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I offer myself to you right now. I offer my whole spirit, my soul and body to you. And I know that you'll take care of me. I am not afraid. I will never be afraid. You said to never be afraid. I'm not going to let burdens overtake me. I cast every burden on you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I am born again because I put my faith in Jesus. I declare Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to pray for one family who just lost a young man yesterday. He's just been coming to this church recently. He grew up in this church, and he passed away yesterday. And the mom called me this morning. Some of you knew Josh Kichigizig. He's just a young man. He was in treatment for alcohol and drugs last couple months ago. He came and did Faith Foundation with Pastor Ken 2 months ago. And he just died. They found him yesterday. And so his mom called me. So we need to offer prayer for a young Josh's mom. Now, he grew up in church. He was in children's church. He came to us with Rhema, and he did different things with us, worked with the ministry. That could happen to anybody. I don't know if he passed out and froze to death. I don't know if he overdosed on drugs. I don't know what happened to him. But no matter what, my faith is that, you know, this young man had an addiction problem, and I'm not his judge. I'm not going to declare that he's in heaven. I'm not going to declare he went to hell. I'm putting my faith in Jesus, that Jesus knows from the beginning to the end. This young man gave his life to Jesus years ago, and anybody can make a mistake. And anybody can have mental health issues. Around Christmas time, I saw his Facebook the other day, a few days ago, and then he was struggling with the Christmas season. We put so much trouble, focus on Christmas that we lose sight of life itself. I want you to raise your hands in faith for the mom and family this morning. Father, we want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We pray over Sarah and the whole family, all the brothers, or all the cousins and aunties and all the relatives. We cover them with the blood of Jesus, Father. We pray that the mighty comfort of the Holy Spirit be upon them. In the name of Jesus, that whatever is happening, that they'll find light somewhere along there. They'll find revelation of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. His word will come to her and them. And the word of God will take free course in their lives. And Lord God, we're sending our condolence by faith over those families. And we're sending our love over them. We cover them with our faith. And we cover them with our love. And we ask your protection that none of them will even suffer more loss, that the devil will not take advantage of this sad situation. We thank you in the name of Jesus that you will recover mom and all those that are there and all those young men and women who are also suffering and those people who were in treatment with him heard about this message, heard about what's happened to him. I pray they would begin to turn to you and all of us here would begin to pray over our own families. We pray protection over them, our children that might have situations, that mental health situations. We thank you for those mums and dads who are suffering with children that are having mental health issues or addiction issues, and or that whatever situation, we pray over them. We claim protection over every one of them and provision. We declare this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Say hi to folks as you leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. And those of you that are watching online, I want you to know that if you just give your life over to Jesus Christ right now, your life will be changed into, you'll change. I promise you, that scripture said you'll be changed. If you close your eyes right now, wherever you are, and say, Jesus, come into my life. I cannot save myself. I'm going to ask you right now, be my Lord, be my Savior. I call upon your name in Jesus' name. And now I'm born again, I'm saved. And listen, go to church, find somebody, go to church wherever you are, or call us. We want to help you. We'll send you a little book. It'll help you grow your faith. In Jesus' name, until next time, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.